Hey, I don't know what time it is where you are, but right here, it's Ham Nation time. We've got a great show for you. All about CW. We're going to have a club spotlight, a CW club that is doing a whole bunch of stuff online on Zoom. And they've been doing that for a couple of years. We're also going to look at George's Arduino project, which has a CW component to it, and Contest University. Have you ever been? I haven't. You know why? Because I can never get to Dayton in time. But it's online this year, and it's free. And Tim Duffy, K3LR, is going to be on to tell us all about it. Also, news from Newsline, Dr. T has solar, and Valerie's here, and Amanda's here, and it's just going to be a wild time tonight, and you're just in time. So go find yourself a cool beverage and pull up the laptop or whatever you're watching on, because right now, it's Ham Nation time. Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 452 for May 6, 2020. The Long Island CW Club and a virtual contest you.
Good evening, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID, and I'm in our new studio in Belleville, Illinois. If some of you haven't watched for a while, well, we moved from the Ozarks. And so here we are in our original home. We never have left this home. And we got a fascinating show tonight. First of all, we're loaded with the good things to tell you about. But I can tell you who's here. First of all, Gordo is here. Gordon, how are you doing out on the coast?
We're fine. We're waiting for restrictions to go surfing to be lifted. And I think they're getting lifted this weekend. And so all is well. And a lot of ham radio activity during this slowdown or close down. Not for hams. We're always up.
That's right. Absolutely. That's great. Well, George will be here. And what's happening down there, George? You escaped all of this, the storms and stuff like that, right? You doing okay?
Yeah, we escaped them, and we've got better weather this week. So it's really great weather down here right now. Tonight, you know, last week I started a project on the Arduino Uno there with a CW keyer. We actually made a sort of a version of it. Well, I did a few tweaks to it and a few improvements. And we're going to see just what speed we can get out of this thing.
Well, this is a great night to do that. First of all, I want to be sure and tell everybody, don't go away, because Valerie's coming up with Tim Duffy. And you don't want to miss what he's got to tell you about Contest University. He's got lots of news, so they're coming around. But first, we're going to bring on one of the Spotlight Clubs. Victor, you have something to push, another button to push there, Vic? Yay. Yes. We're going to spotlight a wonderful club. It's going to be nothing but CW, I understand. Whoa. The Long Island CW? Whoa, I'm ready for that. So let's introduce you to Howard Bernstein, WB2UZE. Howard, how are you? It's nice to have you with us.
Well, my pleasure to be here, gentlemen, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, I have some really great slides, but first of all, I want to show everybody this. This is your station, is that right?
Wow.
It sure is.
Amazing. What strikes me, more than all the gear, and the gear is fantastic, is the telephone and the Royal typewriter. My goodness. So you have all kinds of wonderful things there. You could call them antiques, but I call them just old things that we're still working with. That's cool. And a lot of good, wonderful tube rigs. So we have to have you on sometime, and you can give us a rundown of that. That would be cool. But in the meantime, we want to hear more about your club. You have a fantastic club. So why don't you tell us a little bit of history about that club?
Okay. Well, we got started as a Long Island CW club back in the summertime of 2017, right after field day. I was having lunch with my co-founder and friend, Rich, K2UPS. And after field day, we came to realize there really is a shortage of CW operators. And they're very much in demand because you can get 2 points in field day for every QS as opposed to one for sideband. So I said to Rich, I said, why don't we start a club and try and give back to the Long Island community and see if we can teach people CW and get more people active in that part of the hobby. And that's how it started off, basically as a Long Island club to begin with.
That's wonderful. And I have a couple of slides here where we want to tell us about you've gone online with Zoom to some of your clubs. Explain a little bit how that's going.
Well, you know, Bob, in the beginning, we realized that the whole structure of clubs in ham radio was changing. The ham radio population getting a little bit older. Not too many people can come out to clubs at night and drive, and there's weather issues. So we figured instead of having a brick and mortar type of ham radio club, which was traditional, why don't we do it with video conferencing? I had found out about Zoom 2 years ago, and we decided to design and build the club around that. Sure, we still have as a club your typical brick and mortar type of activities and amenities, but as far as the classrooms and the meetings, we do it all online.
That's wonderful. You were there before anybody thought about it. That's terrific. And here's a really good thing about the club. Explain to us what we're seeing there. 490 members. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, we started 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, with about 20 people, friends we knew from some of the four bigger Long Island clubs. And then as we promoted ourselves on social media and through other means, the club has grown today. It's actually, this is already wrong. We're getting 10 to 20 members a week. Right now, we're at 504 members.
Wow. Yeah, 49 states and 12 countries.
Yeah, I can't get Wyoming. It's like worked all states and DXing. I got to have somebody maybe who's hearing me tonight join from Wyoming, and then we'll have 50.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's just amazing that you guys have been doing this long before anybody thought about it. So tell us about how it started a little more. You got into some of that.
Well, we started off on a small scale. We were only having a handful of classes per week, but we were still keeping up with our activities. Besides the CW classes that we were having, we were having outings where the club goes out for QRP every month, and we operate portable down from the Long Island beaches. We would have barbecues. We took under our wing a vintage New York City fireboat that's out on Eastern Long Island, and we operate from there. And we figured it's very important to get the guys out of the house and out and about. So we did museum visits, and we got involved with Marconi Day on Long Island with the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, and set up right near real Marconi school site from the early 1900s. And whatever we could do simultaneously, Bob, online, we would do. So we would have a build-a-thon with another Long Island club, Limemark, And we would do the build-a-thon of the kit online too, so we would include everybody from out of state. So this kind of just kept spiraling and spiraling, and people found out about us, and that's how we grew so quickly, you know, to the order of 10 to 20 people per week. And then we had to increase our classes. Even this, which I gave you a couple of weeks ago, is outdated. We're adding 3 classes next week. So we'll be at something like 36 classes per week.
That's just amazing. And your classroom is on Zoom. How about that? That's cool.
Yeah. That's a typical picture of what, well, everybody knows Zoom now. 2 years ago, if you mentioned Zoom to somebody, they think you'd be talking about a motor scooter. But here is actually a picture of a typical class.
Gordo, what do you think about this, Gordo? This is really a biggie that they've been doing this a long, long time. We're just newcomers. What do you think, Gordo?
Well, with a great South Bay Amateur Radio Club as well as Limark taking part, you know we've got a winner organization here. And, you know, since the FCC, Howard, quit the requirement for having to pass a Morse code test, we have seen more and more sales from the W5YI group of their CW practice CDs. They just think it's the greatest thing because folks out there are practicing the CW Farnsworth method, and they love it. But you bring the ultimate, and that is live from your setup. Go ahead, Howard.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting thought that you brought forward, Gordo, the fact that there is no longer a test and therefore people are not intimidated by that. You know, we found out that the biggest underlying concern that people have about learning CW is the fear of learning it, whether they can do it and whether they can do it once they know it and get on the air. So, yeah. Really combat that every day to try and build confidence and do all of this in a fun environment as opposed to a work environment where it's just something you could put off and want to do something else. So we say if you're having fun with CW, you'll want to learn it.
One of the things that I'm really passionate about, Gordo and I both share this, is what's going on to bring young people to the table. And it looks like here you've done that. Tell us a little bit about teaching the homebound kids that you're having to face today.
Well, I can't take credit for the idea for this. I would have loved to have Rob K2MZ with us tonight. There would have been space on Skype for us. But one of the things we do in the club is that we listen to every suggestion that's made and we take it very serious because we can't come up with all the ideas, myself and the co-founder, Rich, K2UPS. So we encourage everybody to contribute anything they have as a suggestion and we study it. So Rob came up with the idea because he's involved professionally with young kids and he's also a university teacher. He said, how about we teach CW to all the homebound kids that are unfortunately out of school and stuck at home and having to be homeschooled in some cases by their parents. So using our techniques through social media, and the ARRL was also kind enough in their weekly email newsletter to put a advertisement about this on there. We already have, this is outdated, we have 75 students from the USA and Europe, from kindergarten all the way to grade 12, learning CW. These kids learn so fast, Gordo, it's mind-blowing. We had 11-year-old kids in one of our club sprints 2 weeks ago, 3 of them already making QSOs at 11 years old.
Oh, that is just super, Howard. And, you know, kids are just amazing. What we do is we have the kids build their own CW gear out of a clothespin, a little sun alert, not a buzzer, because you know the problems with buzzer and small battery. And unfortunately, the buzzers all had the same frequency. So we had to add a little LED that you can see there that comes on.
Yeah.
But you know, Howard, the kids, they started doing it with their thumbs. And we said, no, you don't do it with your thumb. You know, they go, no, you're like way out of date, which is probably true for me. Now they do their thumb.
Yeah.
And their thumbs are faster than what you and I could do with a straight key with our hands. So we're always learning from the kids, Howard.
I heard the CW from 11-year-olds, and one of them is using a key. It was unbelievable. And one of them made a key out of Lego.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
So they're engaged. So we didn't think it was going to explode like this. But if you know, in the summertime, we're going to be teaching theory in the hopes that some of these kids will go on to get their license. So, you know, the future of ham radio, we have to get the youngest of the youngest generations going on this.
Right.
You know, because all of us are, you know, the majority, even our club, are 50 plus, and we want to bring it down to teenagers and school kids. And it seems like we found the connection, and we're very proud of it.
Well, Howard, this is just so interesting. I'm so happy that we were able to get you on tonight. And in closing, I want to find out, how do we get started? How do we join? So run down that list for us, and we'll get our pencils out.
Well, first of all, you gentlemen would be lifetime honoraries if you want to join, so you don't need a pencil. But you know, we ask for a donation of $30 per year, $90 per lifetime, just to cover our expenses and then some. And all they have to do is go to the website, longislandcwclub.org, longislandcwclub.org, go to the membership page, send us an email on the info, the membership section, and then we'll get the email and we'll reply within 24 hours.
That's great. I just am so impressed what you guys and gals have put together, and I'm sure it's going to catch on. Here we are each week trying to spotlight clubs that have never done even Skype, and I'm thrilled to death that you guys are so far ahead of the curve, and that's wonderful. And I know that you're bringing more and more people to ham radio through it. So I appreciate it very much to have you on, and we'll keep a watch on you guys, and maybe we'll come back and do it again. What do you think, Gordo? We'll have questions, won't we?
Absolutely. And Howard, CW, you know, visual as well.
Yeah.
What did I send?
It looked like the first letter was an L, but I lost the rest.
It was 7.
Oh, 73.
I was doing it way too slow. That was my fault. I did it too slow. Well, Howard, thank you so much. And any final words before we go on?
Well, my final words would be to thank you, gentlemen, very much for what you do. Every week you put on a show and you put a lot of effort. I know personally how much work it takes to do these things. And so I would like to thank you very much for everything you've done for many, many years for amateur radio and promoting the hobby. And it's really an honor for me to be here with you. I did want to say thank you to a mutual friend, Alan NY2G, also a member of our club, who introduced me to you fellows. And I just wanted to mention that. But thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Excellent.
Well, thanks so much, Alan and Rich. And again, da-da, did-it-it, did-it-it-da-da to you, Howard.
Okay. That's 73. Great.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. And a great part of this all goes to Leo Laporte. And Victor, who is the producer, we run those guys through the paces each week. But, oh, boy, we have really had a lot of fun. Well, before I get it back down to you, Gordo, I got one thing I want everybody to know about. This, you will need your pencils, I would think. We are going to do something that's never been done before from us. Heil Sound is going to have an online ham radio day this Saturday at 1 o'clock Central. And what we plan to do is there's going to be some live video from a couple of the people. We're not all working, so we're going to. I think Donna will be there, who does all of our repair work. But the main thing is we're going to have some real special sales and stuff that will help you in this time of need. And I hope that that does stir you on to watch. I will also do a presentation. So we're going to have school, and I do want you to pass it on to your friends. That's this Saturday at 1 o'clock Central. Just go to our website, and about halfway down, you'll see Ham Radio Day, and we'll get you all. The address will be there, and it's all going to be on the air. So let me know what you think about it. But I think it's going to be fun, and that's the main thing. Isn't that what we do mostly on ham radio, Gordo, no matter how many antennas or microphones or CW keys or amplifiers? We have fun, don't we?
That's it. And, Bob, you know, in that vein, our local Orange County Racy's director said, unfortunately, throughout probably the country, many Racy's organizations have locked down their members to not be able to respond to their normal Racy's meetings or Racy's drills. But we talked about the need for continued training, Bob, as you and I have talked about. And the director said, well, we could do like something in your backyard. We saw in Ham Nation a couple of weeks ago, and I go, precisely. So, yes. Victor, if you don't mind, let's head for the backyard and show how an organization that had locked down its personnel was able to successfully make things happen. And this was our backyard operation. It would be on both VHF as well as UHF. And the whole deal was get out there on a Saturday morning, get on the air, make simplex contacts, not a repeater contact, but simplex with a station maybe 20 or 30 miles away. So this was my VHF simplex outfit. The most important part is that big giant voltmeter that lets me know that I've got good power, making sure that my radio was putting out great power. That is a two-section VHF-UHF antenna that we set up portably in the backyard. Didn't seem to mind the tree for ham radio VHF. But marine VHF, the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, is very active in. And they said, Gordo, the little yellow bag is not making it. You got to have a professional enclosure like we have here on our marine VHF as well as high frequency capabilities. Okay. So we got this one, the iPortable, many years ago at the Dayton Hamvention. Remember that? And that is both VHF as well as high frequency. But we needed to make sure that the high frequency was going to work the 20 or 30 miles to the distant station via ground wave. So we got everything tied in there. That's the HF radio on the bottom is an NTIA approved radio. That is the trusty solar panel. And the solar panel was doing about 2 amps of output to keep the BioNO battery on the inside all charged up. So the BioNO battery doesn't care whether it's vertical or horizontal. That's lithium iron phosphate. It just goes in there as best you can squeeze it into your case. That was a 20 amp hour. In the future, I'll probably only do a 12, but we wanted the 20 amp hour to work on that commercial Yaesu standard radio that is NTIA compliant. And that's what we need for the Coast Guard auxiliary work. But it works great on 5 megahertz marine. And of course, on top of that, the ICOM 706, the legend of multi-mode, multi-band radios. The BioNO power is a battery within a battery. It's actually small little battery cells. And these cells are, as a pack, individually monitored. And they're monitored by this in every BioNO pack. And that's a protection circuit that not only equalizes the cell, but protects against too high a voltage, too much heat, too low a voltage, too much current, either going in or going out. That's built into every BioNO Power lithium iron phosphate. And that lithium iron phosphate just sits right there in the case. It doesn't care whether it's vertical or horizontal. So you can carry the case vertically and set it up horizontal as we had for our backyard operation. Well, the backyard operation had to be strictly backyard. You couldn't use any of your home antennas. So I had a 60-meter antenna that I had loaned a friend, and they brought it back to me dutifully intact. Got everything hooked up and put it on the radio and did not hear the radio background noise jump up that you would expect with the antenna. Now, this is the vice grip with a little L bracket on there that keeps the antenna perfectly happy because it's using this big 20-foot canopy metal to keep the ground plane as intact as possible. And I'd used it before, and I thought, what the heck is going on? Why is it looking like a direct short? There you go. On closer examination, my friend said, well, I hooked it up, and I didn't receive squat on it. Well, no wonder. That's the hot part of the antenna, and you have missed a little something that needs to go in between the silver part and the aluminum below. And that little something is that white little insulator. You've got to have that insulator, but when you're moving around, the insulator can many times get lost. So the deal is, on this type of an antenna that you see on mirror mounts and so on, hams, don't put your very best antenna screwed into that, because that is simply pressed into the base of the SO239. I had a wonderful high Q antenna that is somewhere down in a freeway gulch, because it literally yanked that copper-colored center section out of this. So be very cautious that you don't rely on anything more than what will be a compression fitting. But here's the deal. And notice the little notch. The little notches are to keep that perfectly in place so that the outside of the hot part does not ground out to the mount. And you don't put the white thing below the mount, because that would then insulate the ground side. So you've got to have it on the top side so your coax sees the ground of the pipe and whatever. And the silver part, of course, is the hot part. So that's your good 50-ohm match. And as we get it going, bango, it was doing just as well as a big, huge, long vertical antenna. And we were making contacts on 60 meters all over the place to just about every station that was part of this Racy's drill. We also tried the loop, but we found out one thing, and that is, if the loop is closer than about 10 feet of your portable operating station, you're going to need a whole bunch of these ferrite chokes to keep the RF off the loop from getting into the mic section of your radio or into the radio itself via computer connection. So if you plan to operate portable with a loop, good for you. We've done it at the beach. You just got to keep the loop away. And of course, everybody's watching. And for those of you locked down, we know that ham radio really makes things happen. And many of us being locked down have also gone to our local PetSmart and other agencies that have cats and dogs for hire. For adopting, whether like for hire, for adopting. And so we're playing surrogates keep that cat happy. And for those of you that are adopting an animal or just sheltering it for 2 weeks, here is going to be the final thing. And that is, get off the table. You're taking to me. You're not my real mom. I'm just an adopted cat. So you got to have a little bit of fun when you're playing with your rescue cat for a few weeks as we're taking care of things. Oh, good. That's great. Susie is showing me our adopted cat. There's the camera. Hold it right up there. And as you can see, There we go. He's very happy, and he's not saying, get off the table. So ham radio operators, during this pandemic, although the lockdown looks like it's going to ease up to stage two very shortly, maybe end of this week, if you've got the ham radio, get on the air. But do it uniquely. Try out your emergency gear because you never know when you're going to get called. Be thinking, how can I get on the air off of my regular ham installation? And have fun. Get on 146.52 or 446. Make a lot of contacts. And I want to thank those hams. I know Rich Moses on the CQ magazine. He's brought in a shelter cat. But he's already got a cat, and they're trying to get used to each other. But it's a job. Cats, dogs, gerbils, whatever you're adopting and sheltering for a few weeks as your local pet stores are clamped down, good for you. And hopefully you'll keep them safe and sound. So ham radio operators, we'll hear you this weekend, BYOB, bring your own ballon, and we'll meet you in our backyard. So, George, let's see what's going on with ICOM America. George?
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tips of your fingers and a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at 1 kilo or just over 2 pounds. With RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz, 5-watt battery operation with BP272 or 10 watts with a 13.8-volt DC supply. Modes include single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions, a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, and live band scope with waterfall, integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger, micro SD card for data storage. It comes standard with the HM243 speaker microphone, and it supports QRP and QRP operations. The perfect accessory for the IC705 is the LC192 optional backpack with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda activations or just a day in the park. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information about this and all the great ICOM radios.
ICOM invites you to enter weekly in the drawings for some great swag prizes by going to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And you'll find the details there as well on how to win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And we've got a nice radio here. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Well, I promised you last week that I was going to do some enhancements to this, this little Arduino CW keyboard, the little project I had done, that is actually going to make it useful and increase flexibility of it a little bit as well. So let's take a look at that. This week on Smoke and Solder, we're back to the Arduino CW keyboard project with a few modifications that are going to help it out quite a bit. We've still got the speaker attached right here to ground and pin 12 so that we can hear the CW being generated. But we've added an LED here from ground through a resistor up to pin 7. This is a 300-ohm resistor. You'd probably use something a little smaller than that. That's what I had handy, and it worked fine for this. You could use a transistor and drive a relay or directly control some TTL circuitry from right here, possibly the key or input on your rig. Rather than use the Arduino editor to display this code, I'm using a program called Notepad++. You know, these files are all text files. You can edit them with any text editor you want. Of course, you'll need to compile them and upload them somehow to the Arduino. Can't do that in Notepad++. Let's zoom in and take a little closer look here. Over on the left-hand side, our original code, well, we made a couple of changes. You can see dot length and dash length we had specified here as equaling 120 and 360. Now I'm just declaring those variables here. I'm not assigning a value to them at this point. And I'm not assigning a value to character space either. We've also added another one here. All these changes are in yellow. Integer words per minute, WPM, equals 20. Yes, that's right. You can now choose the words per minute speed that you want the Arduino to send. We've added another one here, too. Integer key or pin equals 7. That's where we looked at the LED. We're calling that key or pin. And we've got a bool, which means boolean, that can be true or false. Low-key logic equals false. So what this does, if we set that to true, we want pin 7 to go low instead of going high when we're sending a character. Bool get command equal false is another one. This variable is instructing the Arduino that we've received a command and not a character that we're supposed to transmit. We'll see more about that in a second. And one other variable here, a string, we name static string. And this is going to be used by a get command function, we'll see in a moment. Down here in setup, well, it's a little more complex than it was before. Previously, we only had three lines in there. Now we've got a few more. The first line here is the same. The next line, pin mode, key or pin, comma, output. That means that we're setting the key or pin, which of course was pin 7, that's where we've got the LED hooked up, to be an output. And then we've got an if statement here, and we've talked about if statements before. Essentially, we're looking to see if that variable we declared, low key logic equals false, or you could have said it's true, but whatever the case, if it is true, then we're going to do a digital write to key or pin and set it to high. That means high is a normal state. If it goes low, then that means we're sending either a dit or a dash. And then we're calling a function here called calc length. We'll look at that in a moment. We're turning on the serial port as before, and we're printing, you know, the name of the program here and showing that this one is V2. And we're printing a couple of additional lines. This instructs us on how to send commands to the Arduino. If we want to change the words per minute or the tone, then we just enter the command letter plus the new number inside of angle brackets. For example, to send 10 words per minute, just enclose inside the angle brackets a W10. Now let's look down at the loop section. That has changed a little bit, too. You see, it was kind of small before. It has all the same stuff at the top, but we've added some additional items here. We're checking the character string that's coming in from our keyboard, and if we see that it's got a less than symbol here, then we're going to set get command equals true. That means that we've got a command. If that character is not this, then we're not going to be looking for a command. If get command equals true, then we're going to call the get command function. We'll look at that down here in a moment. And we're sending the character string to it, so it sees what's coming in. And then we return, which means we're breaking out of the loop and starting all over again at the top. We come down this far again, and we keep going. In the case that we did have an angle bracket, if the character string is a greater than, get command equals false. That means we're through getting the things that are between the less than and greater than symbols. And we return, which means we start over again. We do the same things. If we did get the less than symbol, then whatever was between it, all of that is sent to get command, and once we get the greater than symbol, We're through doing these items. We go straight down to the send character string. We'll take a look at it in a moment. And then here's a new function, void calclink. What this does is calculates the symbol links. You know, I said we could adjust the words per minute this time. Dot length equals 1200 divided by WPM. That calculates the length of the dot symbols in milliseconds. Same thing with dash length. In this case, though, we're just taking dot length and multiplying it by 3, because a dash should be about 3 times as long as a dot. In the case of a command coming in, and then we're setting character space to be the same length as dash length. This is a new function completely, void get command string, and we're sending to it the string, which is a digit, whatever was received in on the keyboard. Unfortunately, the time allowed on Ham Nation for Smoke and Solder is a little short to explain all the code, but fear not, I'm providing a link right here where you can download the full-length video with all the explanations. That's at amateurlogic.tv/download/CW_keyboard_v2.mp4. The get command function essentially looks at the string passed to it, which is enclosed inside of angle brackets. It's either going to begin with a T or a W. If it's a T, it's going to parse out the number following it. If it's a W, it'll do the same thing, parse out the number following it. And it'll act in each case. On T, it's going to reset the tone of the oscillator we're using. And on W, it's going to call the calclength function to recalculate the words per minute. Now let's look at codes. Once again, on the left-hand side here is going to be our codes.ino file, the original version. On the right-hand side, we've got the version that has been modified just a little bit to add these other functions. If we zoom in and look at it closer, nothing has really changed much in this file. Under the dot function here, we've got an if statement checking to see if we had set low-key logic to true. That means we want to reverse the logic on our TTL output. If that is the case, then we're doing a digital write to the keyer pin low. That means whenever we set that low, if this was true, then this will be turning on the LED. If we had not reversed the logic with this low-key logic equal true, then we would be doing a digital write keyer pin high, and that would turn on the LED. Then we do our same tone commands that we had done before, just to play our dot out the speaker. And then we do another check here. After we've gone through this, you know, we delayed for the length of that dot character to play. And we're basically doing the same thing we did up here. We just turn the LED off. We're doing the same thing down here in dash. I haven't highlighted it, but it's the exact same things. We just added these two pieces of code into that. So now that we've looked at the changes here, let's look at the program in operation and see if we have improved things. Now let's change the frequency of the tone. We'll say less than and T for tone and 400 hertz. And then the greater than symbol. All right, it tells me it set the tone to 400. Now let's see what it sounds like. We can change the words per minute. Let's try dropping that down a little bit. We'll say W10 inside of the less than and greater than. All right, we've set words per minute to 10. Let's try my call sign. Very well. Let's try another one here. Let's see how fast this thing can go. Let's say words per minute 100. Okay, it took the command. There was my call sign at 100 words per minute. Can you be sure of that? Well, I think so. I did check it with Ham Radio Deluxe's DM780 program. doing the CW decoder, and it decoded it at 100 words per minute. Now, you could actually use this for something. You could use it to, say, function as a keyer with your rig to add a keyboard to send CW with. You can download all the code for this project for last week's version 1, amateurlogic.tv/download/CW_keyboard_v1.zip, or download the enhanced version, same address, with V2. And there you go. I was a little surprised to see that it could send 100 words per minute, and I got a perfect copy on, using the decoder program from Ham Radio Deluxe. And, I had to play with this quite a while to figure out the exact tweaking of the length of the dots and the dashes and the spaces to make all that work out, but that's what I came up with. Now, somebody might tell me that's not right, but, every speed I tried decoding it with that program, it decoded it just fine. And a human ear, I don't know, might decode it differently, but you can take that, interface it with the keyer input on your rig, and you could actually send CW with a keyboard very easily using that. And I want to thank everyone who wrote me this past week about the project and those who were looking for the code. Well, I didn't publish it last week, but as you saw, we just published version 1, the one we did last week, and version 2, the one we just looked at. And there were the links where you could go download it. So that'll probably be my, we'll hold up a little bit on some more Arduino projects. We'll look at some in the future. But that was my little CW keyboard experiment, and it really worked out better than I thought it would. So now, I think it's time that we caught up on the news in amateur radio, and who better to do that than Don Wilbanks?
Well, thank you, sir. Listen, that's a great little Arduino project. And, like they say with wire antennas and skinning a cat, there's more than one way to do it to have a positive outcome. I'm not sure if skinning a cat is something we want to try to do here, especially with Gordo watching. But nonetheless, that's great stuff. A lot of different ways to do and get a good positive outcome. And that's a cool project. I like it. Good job on that.
Yeah, thanks, Don.
Always. Always. All right. Let's see what's going on in the news and a little solar update from Dr. T as well right now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2218, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 6, 2020. Detectives in Victoria, Australia have been combing the remote region where an amateur radio operator with a serious medical condition disappeared during a recent camping trip.
The missing person squad has been searching for Russell Hill, VK3VZP, and a family friend, Carol Clay, who have not been seen since the fire erupted at their campsite in the bush. The fire destroyed a table, a tent, and some camp chairs and left Russell's vehicle scorched. According to a report on ABCNet Australia, Russell was last heard on the air using his ICOM IC706 Mark IIG on the 20th of March on 3670 kHz. Authorities said that he and four of his mates would check in with one another on the frequency every evening at 1800 hours. Detectives told ABCNet Australia that they were trying to rule out foul play. Russell, who was 74, was a seasoned camper and a former logger and who knew the area well. Detective Inspector Andrew Stamper said if there are any hunters, campers or motorcyclists who were in the area around this time, then we'd like to speak to you. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
A radio operator in Russia recently logged a contact he won't soon forget, Iran's first military reconnaissance satellite.
When Iran launched the nation's first military reconnaissance satellite on the 22nd of April, it wasn't with the purpose of facilitating amateur radio contacts, but tell that to Dmitry Pashkov, R4UAB. Not long after the launch of the Noor-1, which means light in Persian, the Russian ham was able to copy a signal and decode some status information being transmitted. The contact was reported by RIA Novosti. Dmitry told the media outlet that the signal was being transmitted on 400 megahertz with FSK modulation. He said the signal wasn't stable, suggesting that the satellite was rotating. The satellite entered its orbit at a height of 425 kilometers or 264 miles. The launch by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps has received widespread coverage in the international media, which considers it a major achievement. The orbit was also confirmed by astrophysicists at Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. Dmitry, however, was pleased to go public with this amateur radio achievement of his own. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Here's an operating award regarding satellites you might want to consider.
Have you been busy making contacts via satellite? If so, you may be eligible to receive the W4AMI Award. Officially known as the Robert W. Barbie Jr. W4AMI Satellite Operator Achievement Award. It's named for the silent key who was known for his prolific operations and contacts. He was, in fact, the first recipient of the certificate after its creation in 1994. If you've made 1,000 contacts with any station anytime, you qualify. And there are endorsements for between 1,000 and 4,000 contacts. Hams who complete 5,000 contacts get a special W4AMI 5,000 certificate. If you think you qualify, email an extract from your log either in Microsoft Excel, XLS, X format or ADIF format to AMSAT Director of Contests and Awards, Bruce Page, KK5DO, at kk5do@amsat.org. It is not necessary to have your contacts confirmed. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
The nominating period for the 2020 Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is in its final weeks. Nominations close at midnight Eastern on May 31st. The nominating form can be found at arnewsline.org under the Awards tab. The award will be presented Saturday, August 22nd at the Huntsville Hamfest in Alabama.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Robert Broomhead, VK3DN, John Williams, VK4JJW, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
Space weather this week is definitely calming down, but we have just set a new record for sunspots during the solar minimum. As we switch to our front side sun, you can see at the end of April, a couple bright regions from the old solar cycle were rotating into Earth view. And then, look, a couple more emerged from the new cycle. And by the 30th, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 sunspots, 2 from the new cycle, 2 from the old cycle, and it managed to boost the solar flux up into the mid-70s for a few days. But then, by the time we reached about the 2nd of May, things had already kind of calmed down and the regions had rotated to the sun's backside or they had faded back below the surface. So now we're back to hugging the hairy edge of marginal for radio propagation, but we do still have another bright region that is still managing to hang in there, and it's next to a finger-like coronal hole that's going to be rotating in through the Earth's strike zone here in the next few days, and that could bring us maybe some slight chance for aurora at high latitudes. Now as we switch to our far-sighted sun, you can see those regions rotating off of the stereo's west limb, and that new region kind of emerging here in the southern hemisphere in stereo's view, and it looks like it's going to hang on, but it's definitely not going to be strong enough to get its own designation as a sunspot. Now, on top of that, we also have another finger-like coronal hole on the sun's far side that will be rotating Earth's side here in the next few days, and that could give us yet another chance for solar storming in about a week to 10 days. So we do have more chances of solar storm, but it doesn't look like we have any more bright regions that are going to enter Earth view anytime soon. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we do have a coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone here over the next couple days, and it will send us a weak burst of fast solar wind, but it's probably not going to rattle us all that much. Now, at high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions, but we have up to a 20 or 25% chance of a minor storm. Now, at mid-latitudes, well, things are probably a lot more quiet. We're expecting unsettled conditions as well, but only about a 15% chance of active conditions here as we move in through the weekend. But again, most likely this is just going to keep us at unsettled conditions, and aurora photographers at mid-latitudes, you're probably going to have to sit this one out. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, despite having hit a record with four sunspots in a solar minimum, something we haven't seen in quite some time. Man, what a difference a day makes. We are now back to a spotless sun, which means everything is in the green for solar flares. We have no risk for radio blackouts, and that should make you GPS users very happy. However, with the spotless sun, we are back to the low 70s for solar flux, which means we're hanging on to the hairy edge of marginal for radio propagation on Earth's dayside. And this is likely going to continue easily over the next week, possibly 2 weeks before we get a reprieve. Now, also because we are in solar minimum, the cosmic ray flux is a bit more intense than it normally would be. So you frequent flyers, and this does include aircrew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you're still in the moderate range for radiation dose. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. For more details on this week's space weather, including when and where you can see aurora and how your radio propagation is going to fare, come check out my channel or see me at spaceweatherwoman.com.
Thank you, Dr. T. There it is right there, spaceweatherwoman.com. Check her out there. And, of course, follow her on Twitter, because she does up to the second almost information on Twitter. And she's a great follow and a great asset to the amateur radio community. And, of course, we're just as pleased as we can be to have her here on the Ham Nation team and the Amateur Radio Newsline team as well. We're also very pleased to have Valerie. And she's going to talk to Tim Duffy, K3LR, who, you know, Contest University is probably a huge part. Well, not probably. It is a huge part of Hamvention every year, and there's no Hamvention. However, Valerie, good news about Contest University.
And it's a great asset to have you on the show too, Don. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll get your check in the mail later.
Yeah, we're all going to be missing Ham Nation right now, or our Hamvention right now, getting ready. Everybody's would have been packing and getting ready to head out, but all is not lost, because we can bring a little bit of it home with us. So I'm going to bring Tim Duffy in, K3LR. Tim, are you there?
I am here, Val.
Hey, welcome. So we've got some fun stuff. You were able to bring Contest U online. So why don't you tell folks about what they can do if they want to join Contest U? Maybe they wouldn't have never been able to do it. They've never been able to go to Dayton, and this is their chance now.
Yeah, this is an incredible opportunity. Contest University will be all online this year via Zoom conference bridge. And thank you, Victor, for putting up these slides. If you go to contestuniversity.com, this is what you'll see. And we want you to register to attend Contest University. It will be held on Thursday, May 14th. We're going to start at 8:45 in the morning, and it will go to about 7 o'clock at night. And if we take a look at the outline for the courses, this is jam-packed with great information from some of the leading contesters in the United States, and also some really good amateur radio operators that are going to share their experiences. And we kick it off with a welcome from Michael Coulter, who is the official spokesperson of Hamvention, and myself, and also Ray Novak from ICOM America. Frank Donovan, W3LPL, will be talking about receive antennas. And Nathaniel, W2NAF, who was the Hamvention Ham of the Year in 2018, is going to talk about ionospheric storms and disturbances, and also give a good solar cycle update. Bob Wilson, N6TV, is going to talk about USB and serial interfaces, John Doerr, who is the director of the CQ Worldwide contest, will be giving the list of the silent keys for contesters in 2020. And then Marty Sulloway, NN1C, is a first-time professor, will be talking about team exuberance and youth contesting and what's going on there. And Ed Munns, who is the director of the CQ Worldwide Riddy contest and also the CQ Worldwide WPX contest and also the Digi contest hosted by WWROF, will be talking about digital contesting. And Doug Grant, K1DG, who just wrote a great book on contesting that is available from the ARL, will be talking. And Ward Silver, the editor of the ARL Handbook and the ARL Antenna Book, will talk about grounding and bonding, and not only for contest stations, but for HF stations. There's a lot of useful information, even if you're not a contester. Rob Sherwood, a world expert when it comes to evaluating receiver performance and transceivers, is going to be speaking. And then Frank Donovan's going to come back on and talk about 60 years of his contesting story at 6 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Dave Siddell, K3ZJ, who writes the contest column for CQ Magazine, will be giving the presentation of the CQ Magazine Contest Hall of Fame for 2020. And then at the conclusion of that, one lucky winner here in the United States is going to win an ICOM IC7610, courtesy of ICOM America, but you have to be on the Zoom bridge to win. And that right now we have over 1,600 attendees that are coming to Contest University. Normally we have 350 when we assemble in downtown Dayton. This year, I think we're going to have probably 2,000, Valerie. So it's going to be a great day on Thursday, May 14th.
Now, you normally would expect to pay like $100 for all of this. What's the cost?
Zero. It's free. Absolutely free.
Free, guys. You can't beat free.
You can't
beat free. So sign
up.
Yep.
And we're going to have the presentations, all of the PDFs of the presentations will be available on the Contest University website before the start. So if you have a slow internet connection, you can go grab those files ahead of time. And Val, it gets even better as we go on in the weekend. On Friday.
Wait, I have one more question.
Sure.
Can they watch the seminars live after the fact?
Yes.
A replay.
Yeah, it'll all be recorded. So if you miss it, or you're working, or you're busy, or you miss a couple of segments, the whole thing will be recorded. And thanks to Corey W3CDG, who is doing all the behind-the-scenes work to make this happen.
Okay. Now the next goodie on the hopper.
The next goodie on the hopper is Friday. DX Engineering, we're going to have a new product showcase. And if you go to our blog, onallbands.com. On All Bands is where DX Engineering talks about lots of topics, but we will have a Facebook Live starting at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday. And that Facebook Live, if you scroll down a little bit there, Victor, we'll talk about all of the new products that we would have shown at Hamvention. And keep going, you're going to get to it. And you're going to hear more about it on our Facebook page here starting tomorrow. But we're going to preview a lot of our products that we were working on all year that we would have shown at Hamvention. We're going to show them on Facebook Live on Friday, May 15th, starting at 9 a.m. So that's going to go on for 3 or 4 hours, and I think that's going to be an outstanding deal. And normally, I have a show on Friday on Facebook at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. I'm going to be on there this Friday. My special guest is going to be Bryant, KG5HVO, who was a Young Ham of the Year Award winner in 2018. He will be on with me on Facebook Live this Friday. But next Friday will be the DX Engineering Product Showcase, and that'll be an exciting time, Val.
Right after that, something else is going on, right?
It's going to be a busy weekend.
It's going to be a jam-packed weekend.
It really is. I'm very excited about the Hamvention QSO party, Val, that is on Saturday, May 16th. And you go to hvqp.org, hvqp.org for the rules. The rules are very simple. And this is to celebrate the Dayton Hamvention by just getting on and working people that we might have seen at Hamvention, and also thanking the over 700 volunteers that give their time and effort every year to put on Hamvention. And many of them will be working the W8BI station. That's the DARA station. They will be on from W8BI, and that's got a special bonus to it. If you scroll down there a little bit, Victor, there are three power level entries, and you send a signal report in the first year that you attended Hamvention. And if you can't remember it, you get close. Doesn't really matter. And if you haven't been to Hamvention before, you use 2020. But special bonus points, W8BI is the club call of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, which, of course, is the host of Hamvention. And you get 10 points for each band mode QSO with W8BI. You don't have to send in the logs. You can post your score to 3830scores.com, and there will be certificates available on this website of hvqp.org. And thanks to the Worldwide Radio Operators Foundation, WWROF, for their support of this. And they're, at the end of this webpage, down at the bottom, Victor, are the places where you can get logging software to log N1MM within 24 hours of us announcing this contest. They stepped up with an overlay for N1MM Plus. EI5 DI's Super Duper also supports it, and you can use the RAC contest overlay in both N3FJP and in WinTest. So that's going to be a fun 12 hours. Starts at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday, May 16th, and I hope to work all of you on 40 meters, 20 meters, 15 meters, and let's thank all of the Dayton Hamvention volunteers. Very, very dedicated group that is really hurting this year because they can't host all of us and have a great time. And I hope, Valerie, this is the one and only time we have to hold this contest.
That's yes. Hey, now you said that like N1MM supported the contest. I went in and I looked at my N1MM and I didn't see it. So I had to go in and download it in the user-defined contest area. Is that what the people will have to do?
That's exactly okay. It. It's in that user-defined area.
So what I'm going to do, hang on, guys. I'm just going to show you guys real quick. So if you go to N1MM Logger Plus and you go over to the Docs Supported contest list, then you scroll way down to UDC, all the user-defined contests. If you ever want to get in a contest and you don't see it in your Dropbox, chances are it's down here, okay? So if you go down to UDC with the H's and you see my hamvenqp. That right there, if you can click on that and download that. And when you download it, it'll probably go to your download file. You just want to move that over, find your file where you keep your N1MM files, and there will be a folder called user-defined contest. Just shove it in there, get out of N1MM, and then get back in. You'll see it in your dropdown. Also, coming up this weekend, we got the Arizona QSO party. Arkansas CUSA party, not Arizona. Arkansas CUSA party. And that's about it. Then the following weekend, we have the Hamvention CUSA party. Also, someone's going to be is organizing a Forget the Pandemic CUSA party. That's coming up the first weekend in June. So I'll tell you more about that as we get closer. So that's all we've got for this week. Thank you so much, Tim, for coming on and showing everybody. Remember to go to contestuniversity.com and register, and you'll have a chance to win a radio as well. So appreciate it, and I'll see you Thursday at the class.
It sounds great. Yeah, just go to this registration page and get signed up, and it's going to be a fun time and a great way to spend Thursday, May 14th at Contest University. And thanks very much for having me on, Val.
You're welcome. So let's head over to Amanda and see what she's got cooking in the chat room.
Tim, do not hang up that phone. We're going to send some questions your way as well. First of all, I just wanted to thank Mel, K8KSU. She always, she's so good at putting links into the chat room. I, again, wanted to give her a shout out because all of the stuff that Tim was spewing out tonight, she just kept hooking us up, linking it. So thank you so much, sister. We appreciate that. And I had two small announcements. HamCon versus HamCom. One is canceled, one is not. HamCom in Plano, Texas is canceled. And HamCon in Colorado, taking place August 8th through 9th, not canceled. Just want to clarify that for everyone. Again, of course, they're waiting for all of the other orders coming down from the state that change on a daily basis, but they do believe that it's still going to take place. So other thing, there's a lot coming up. This Saturday, we know we have the Heil Sound. We're going to get a tour. Bob's going to have some special presentations. And again, go to heilsound.com to check that out. Also, we have MicroHam's Digital Conference. This is also on Saturday, and it's free, online, all things digital, and it's microhams.com. Again, microhams.com. Check that out. And if you follow K7AGE on Twitter or Facebook, you're going to hear a lot about this, and he's been really ramping this up. So check that out as well if you don't have anything else to do or if that weather's coming your way and you're stuck indoors. Take Saturday to check it out. Okay, so I had some questions for some other hosts, but they did have to take off this evening to open up the rest of the line. So I'm going to ask Tim Duffy this one. He's been in ham radio a bit. He knows some etiquette skills and things you're supposed to do. So let's talk about some 14652 and what you do. Tim, what would you say? Do you make a contact on 14652 and then move them directly off of frequency, or do you finish having your little rag chew / QSO and then open it back up? What's best recommended?
You know, 14652 is the national calling frequency. That's the way the band plan is set up. It's a calling frequency. So the idea on 52, and I listen on 52 a lot. My station is here on Interstate 80, which runs coast to coast here in the United States. And so oftentimes there are people coming by on the interstate on 52. And a quick QSO is okay. But if you're going to rag chew or have a lengthy QSO, it is kind of common courtesy to move off of 52, maybe up to 55 or 14658, and continue your QSO that way, thereby freeing up 52 for others to call on. So, you know, a very brief QSO on 52 is okay, but if you're going to rag chew, move off of 52.
Very good. Or a lot of times I would say, at least in this area, when we've talked to travelers, tourism that comes through, we always just introduce them to the nearest repeater and tell them, come join us. There's a whole bunch of us listening. So you'll have a fun time and you'll be able to talk to a lot of people and find out the best spots to stop for dinner, that kind of thing. So both ways, you listen for emergencies and also just other traffic. But Tim, my other question, and I know this is right down your alley. KA9USG had a question about a mobile HF install. He says, I have an existing connection to the battery for an existing radio. Do I need to run another power line to the battery, or is it okay to install a power distribution block inside the car and tap off of that?
So it's very important that you pay attention to the size of the wire and also fuses when you're doing these mobile installations. And so if you're going to use both radios at the same time, you have to make sure that the size of the wire is appropriate for the current draw when you transmit. And so you can go to a distribution block, but typically you would use larger wire going to the distribution block and then smaller wire going to the radios that are affected. Lots of these radios really depend upon having a good voltage when you transmit. So if you use too small of a wire, it can get hot, and you can have voltage drop that you don't want to have, which will cause your signal to be distorted or maybe bad audio or low power output. So I always like to just run two home runs to the battery and make sure both the positive and negative have fuses in them. I know the ICOM radios come with the mobile radios come with fuses in both the positive and negative sides of the line, just to make sure that if anything goes wrong, the fuse blows and nothing bad will happen.
All right. Well, and that answers a lot. And by the way, all of us that installed car stereo systems back in our teenage years, we know all of this. We know we went overkill, and everyone that had a Boomin system, we were already prepared for installing our mobile radios, right? Am I right, everyone out there? Okay, I know you hear me. All right.
Yes.
See?
Thank you, Vicky.
Jim, it was an 8-track.
You had these big old capacitors that you had to install and everything. I mean, like, huge. Massive amounts of money, by the way. So, Victor, you're going to have to show me your old boombox and show me. Did you have 10s or 12s?
I didn't. I had a lot of friends that did. So, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. All right. So, moving on. I only had... Tim, thank you so much for being here this evening. We really appreciate that, and we're really looking forward to Contest University. And as I saw in the chat room, that's the way a lot of people for the first time are ever going to see this. This is it. They're amazed that they get to join in. So thanks so much to DXC, ICOM, and I don't remember the other sponsors putting this on, but we really appreciate it because it's awesome for a lot of people.
Yeah, Amanda, we would not be able to do Contest University had it been for Ray Novak, N9JA. He has been a sponsor since day one when I came up with this idea, and he has driven us, and he has given us good suggestions, and he will be part of the opening team. So it's going to be a great thing. And I think going forward, we're going to incorporate an online presence, a greater online presence, to allow more and more people to get to experience Contest University, even without coming to the Hamvention location. So thanks to you, Amanda.
All right. And the only other quote, this is for Valerie. Oh, and maybe for you too, Tim, definitely. You guys are some hardcore DXers, and we have missed this huge open window for our DX expeditions that are usually taking place right now. How is the world handling this? Do you guys have like an online forum you're going to visit? Is everyone talking about their plans? Valerie, you first.
To go on DX expedition?
Or like rescheduling it, or just missing them, or anything.
Missing them, missing the DX. I'm newsletter editor for Indexa, looking for material because no one's going on DX expeditions. We were going to be in Turks and Caicos in March, which we canceled. So, of course, I can't wait to reschedule and go somewhere with a pile up too. But, it is nothing. Yeah, nothing's being planned. We're doing EME. I just did one. and we're just luckily for FT8, you're able to work some stuff you weren't before. But yeah, it's kind of, can't wait for everybody to get back out there. And we have some DX, and it looked promising with what Dr. T was saying too, is some of those sunspots starting to come back.
Tim? Exactly. Now, Tim, my question is slightly different to you now, since I was thinking about it. You always have a bunch of teams that come in and do contesting out of your spot. Now, I know you probably even do the VHF, UHF. Has that all been canceled for the year and field day, or how are you guys coping?
Yeah, it has, Amanda. Sadly, Team Exuberance, the youth team, was supposed to be here the end of this month to do the WPXCW contest. And so that all canceled. They can't fly in, and you just really can't obey the CDC rules with an in-person multi-op team. I am looking at some remote possibilities here going forward. Field day, I think, is going to be a struggle, but that's still yet to be determined, to see how Pennsylvania shakes out with the reopening here. I think field day actually could set an all-time activity record especially with home stations and single people out in the field as well. But you got to be innovative, and you've got to kind of think outside the box. And hopefully, you know, this thing gets under control here, and this fall we can go back to somewhat of the new normal. But, you know, what I've found is that the bands are absolutely packed with people all the time. And, in fact, Valerie and I, we get on 40 meters every night and talk to some great DX that is not a de-expedition, but there's a lot of great DX that is on the air. And because more people are staying home, the activity levels are driving. We're seeing the openings starting to occur for sporadic E on 6 meters now, and 10 meters opens periodically with sporadic E. And as Valerie pointed out, she's having fun with the EME moon bounce. So there's so much to do in this hobby. And now that I'm not driving 2 hours a day, I'm on the radio. I'm on, you know, 20 CW and on 75 meters in the morning and 40 phone at night. So I'm spending more time on the radio and having a ball.
I think a lot of people are, honestly. Even in some normal nets that I have joined in, the 25% more participation, first of all. And then I get their emails about all the new people joining, and I would say at least 25% extra people are joining these kind of nets and these clubs, and like Omis Net and NATA and all of them. Just name them, it, more people are there. And just like Rich had said earlier tonight during the CW club that he has, tons more participation. So if there's anything positive to see out of this at all, you guys and gals, is that more people are staying at home and getting on the radio. So that's a great thing, as long as you do it correctly. All right. I know we're over. We're always over. Don, you have any words? Do you want to say anything to Jim, Val?
I do. Tim, thank you so much for making Contest University an online thing. And also at, you know, a great price. I mean, if it's free, it's for me. So I just registered. I'm going to have the iHeart laptop right here and my MacBook right over here. So I'm going to be going back and forth between work and Contest University. My first time to be able to experience that, albeit from afar. And I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you personally from me to you for doing that, and to Ray Novak from ICOM. And also something kind of cool that we at Newsline have decided to do to be a part of the Hamvention QSO party is this call sign right here is going to be on the air again. That's Bill Pasternak's old call, WA6ITF. So you'll probably hear the Newsline Amateur Radio Club activate that for the Hamvention QSO party. So be listening for WA6ITF. And that's basically all I have tonight. Great show, and as always. And yeah, let's cross our fingers for some sunspot, more sunspots and less COVID. That's what we need. More sunspots, less COVID. That's all I want for Christmas, that and my two front teeth.
Yes. Remember? Yes.
And okay, WA6ITF should be a multiplier. Tim, see what you can do.
Well, you know, the thing of it is those 700 volunteers, that's our focus. Yeah. That is really our focus, and they're hurting big time. And so, you know, W8BI is the bonus station, but we encourage all sorts of groups. Yeah. And even though the rules don't talk about FT8, or they don't talk about RITI, you can get on those and make contacts during the Hamvention QSO party and have a great time. I mean, when the governor of Pennsylvania said I had to shelter in place here at K3LR 5 weeks ago, I mean, come on, people.
Tough duty. Yeah. And, you know, we actually, we talked to the Hamvention QSO party, the Newsline people. We talked to them about maybe making it a multiplier, an official part of it. But we understand why they can't, because it's just, you know, they've got their hands full just getting this thing together. And so we're just happy to have another excuse to put WA6ITF on the air, frankly. We don't care whether we're an official part of it or not. We're just going to be on the air with Bill's call. And that's really all that's important to us. So, you know, we don't have a problem with that at all. So we're just happy to be here.
Agreed. That's right. I can't wait to try to work y'all. And, Tim, okay, one more. I swear, this is last question. During Contest U, is there a way that all of the participants are going to be able to chat with each other while they're in the the digital classroom.
Yes, there will be a chat, part of the screen. That whole right side of the screen, Amanda, will be the chat. And there'll be moderators that will be collecting questions. And so it will be very interactive. All of the professors are leaving time for Q&A. So there will be a lot of interaction. You know, it's a huge group of people. So I've never been on a Zoom conference this size. I've worked with some people that have a lot of knowledge in this area. And so we've got some really good people behind the scenes that are going to make this thing work very smooth. And I couldn't be more excited about the opportunity to have what I think is going to be 2,000 people at Contest University, hopefully 2020. That would be a good number for us to hit. But next week, maybe I'll send you, Amanda, the heat map that shows where all the dots are around the world that are attending Contest University. And it's just incredible, the number of stations in India and Brazil and Australia and China that we'll be attending. It's going to be great. And hello to the multi-op out there in Illinois. Beasley just entered the shack.
Yeah, he's awake. Oh, my God. Hopefully you're going to have a slow chat mode available, because otherwise with 2,000 people, that chat room is going to be flying by so fast.
It's going to roll. It's going to roll.
It's going to rock. It's going to rock.
I can't keep up with 50 you guys in this chat room. I'm not even kidding.
So we're all technically going to be in one room. I didn't know if you were going to have if you were able to do it like three separate rooms or something. Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy, and it's going to be fun. And that's the number one thing, is it's going to be fun.
Yeah, the thing I was most disappointed about was that I noticed in your schedule that it said you're on your own for lunch. No pizza? Come on.
Yeah, drone delivery.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I know we got to wrap this up. This is too much fun, though. We could talk for another hour. Nets, 72-14 right now, it looks like, for 40 meters. And don't quote me on that, because they keep switching it on me. I'm trying to stay with the chat, but they're up and down, and there's someone there, and then they're gone. So just tune around. On 20, we have them on 14-272, and D-Star 14-Charlie, and DMR we have 31-0-12. So that all being said, Don, I pass the torch to you.
Okay, I thought I saw 71-98 in the chat room the last time. Don't quote me on that, but somewhere around there. Just tune around and you'll hear W7UDI, I think, is the net control, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but around there. You'll find them, I do believe. So, all right, well, that's it. We've had what a great show. They've all been great shows here of late, particularly. But tonight, just all about ham radio and all about CW and Contest University and just all good positive stuff tonight. And that, quite frankly, is what we need. So from all of us who work on this show, and I'm not going to go through the list because I'm sure I'll forget anybody, but we all know who we are, and you know who we are, and we also know who you are, the Ham Nation viewers and people in the chat room that are there every week, and for the people who watch live and the people who also watch later on the replays. We thank every one of you, and we wish you all good DX and, more importantly, great health. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you on the radio before we get to see you in person, but hopefully in person too, coming real soon. So from all of us to all of you, 73 guys, good night. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll be talking down the radio. Good night, everyone.
73.